The following recording is of a candidate forum that was held on Thursday, October 20th, 2022, at the Bozeman Public Safety Center. The forum was sponsored by the Bozeman League of Women Voters, American Association of University Women, Bozeman Professional Women, the Belgrade Community Library, and the Bozeman Public Library, and was moderated by Sally Mason. This is the second part of the forum, which featured candidates for Gallatin County Attorney. The candidates were Audrey Cromwell and incumbent Marty Lambert.
Both of these people, and they each have 2 minutes to introduce themselves. And who would like to go first?
Audrey DuCarroll.
Go ahead.
Is it my honor?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm Marty Lambert. I'm in my 26th year of serving as your Gallatin County Attorney here. I'm finishing my 6th full term as County Attorney. There are 2 very important aspects to my office that have great impact on the community and on your lives. One is the criminal, the prosecution function. The other is the civil function and all the work that we do there. In the criminal function, I have for the past 26 years prosecuted the most serious crimes committed in this county, from homicide on down. I have, with my community partners, formed the Domestic Violence Response Team, currently Haven's the administrator of that. We formed the Child Advocacy Center, a safe haven for children who have suffered sexual and physical abuse to be interviewed and to be with their parents. We have used community partnerships from the hospital, from law enforcement, from the help center, from the Voice Center at Montana State University. I have been very fortunate to work with a great number of people in this community and bring them together to put these teams together. And I'm honored to have the support of our Sheriff Dan Springer, supports me for another 4 years for County Attorney. On the civil side of things, of course, I've been doing that for 26 years as well. I have seen to it that illegally created subdivisions, that those tracts are removed. I did that in a case called Mills versus Alta Vista, which we lost at the district court level, and I had to appeal to the Montana Supreme Court, where I briefed the case and argued the case and was successful at the Supreme Court. I have stopped persons who were stealing water from our ag users in this community as well. I've gotten injunctions to stop them from stealing water. So there are many facets to the office. It's a great job. I love it. And I would very much appreciate your support for another 4 years.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Audrey Cromwell. I have been an attorney for 13 years. I've been a prosecutor, a defense attorney, and a judge. I have worked as a pro tem or substitute judge in justice court and city court here in Bozeman. I'm originally from Billings. I went out of state to Carleton College for undergrad and then came back to University of Montana School of Law. I wanted to practice in Montana, and so I came back to Missoula for law school. My husband and I met in law school. He's a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves. And we have an 8-year-old son who attends Longfellow Elementary just over here in Bozeman. The county attorney's office is responsible for prosecuting all felony and misdemeanor cases in the county, responsible for caring for those that are suffering in mental health crisis, caring for abused and neglected children, and making sure that they are safe in the community. There is a large civil component, as Mr. Lambert said, which is advising the County Commission, sort of acting as general counsel to the County Commission, and making sure that the County Commission is supplied with good legal advice. The office also is responsible for juvenile cases, and of course, public safety is the most outward-facing component of the County Attorney's job. My 3 priorities, if elected, are public safety. I think that the current administration has been very reactionary towards crime, but I think we can take a better position in preventing crime. I am committed to resolving the mental health issues that we are seeing in our county right now, with the difficulties in we need to create a a location here in our county where people can go when they're suffering in crisis, a mental health crisis. And then just making sure that we are working together to resolve issues.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We asked these candidates to answer the following question. What restorative justice measures would you support? How would you implement them, and how would they benefit the county? Who wants to be first?
There is a definition of restorative justice in Montana law, and so I think it would help to let you know what that is, so we're all talking about the same thing. Restorative justice means criminal justice practices that elevate the role of crime victims and community members in the criminal justice process, hold offenders directly accountable to the people and communities they have harmed, restore emotional and material losses, and provide a range of opportunities for victim, offender, and community dialogue, negotiation, and problem-solving to bring about greater sense of justice, repair harm, provide restitution, reduce incarceration and recidivism rates, and increase public safety. So there's an awful lot there. And increase public safety that they put at the very end, that's important to me. However, we started with victim input. And I have five full-time advocates and one administrative person right now. So we have six full-time people here who work for us in this county who help crime victims go through that very awful process. About 15 years ago or more was when Paul Louie was city attorney. We combined. So actually we share resources. That's another example of good leadership, a good program, that with the help of the city attorney's office and down through these many years, we have shared resources to better provide services to crime victims. Montana law actually goes quite into detail in Title 46, Chapter 24. There are many things that prosecutors are required to do with crime victims, which are, they're the right thing to do, and we should be doing them even if they weren't in statute. For instance, you got to let someone know if the offender is going to get out of jail. If you're going to negotiate the case, you have to let the victim know about that and get input from them on that. In Montana, we're actually doing pretty well with regard to victim input. But with all those phrases and clauses and goals that were discussed in that statute, we can always have an open mind with regard to restorative justice, and I'll keep mine open if we can meet some of those goals as well, as long as victims are properly served and as long as public safety is enhanced.
Okay. All right. So restorative justice is a response to crime that is not punitive, that's not focused on punishment. Restorative justice is an approach that seeks to repair harm by providing an opportunity for those harmed and those who have the responsibility for causing the harm to communicate together and address their needs after the crime has been committed. So I wrote my undergraduate thesis on restorative justice on Indian reservations. And I am very familiar with the concept of restorative justice and the objectives of restorative justice. These options can be, if they're used correctly, can be very helpful in addressing and preventing crime. So one option is criminal mediation, and this is also called victim-offender mediation. There is a statute in Montana law that provides for victim-offender mediation. And I have been a mediator for 13 years since the beginning of my career, and I think that this process, if used and used carefully, can be very, very important. So victim-offender mediation is a dialogue, and it's very successful in typically juvenile cases, property crime, and then minor assaults. Data shows that when a victim is engaged in the dialogue with the offender, the outcomes for both the victim and the offender are typically better. I've been a mediator, like I said, for 13 years and understand how powerful a tool mediation can be. And I think that this tool can be an incredible restorative justice component if we use it correctly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I would like to amend the rules a little bit because I have a sense that we're going to be asked weighty questions. How about we give each candidate a minute and a half to answer the question? Would that be okay with you guys?
No objection.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, what you have
it's
for breakfast.
It's difficult, right?
Yeah. Questions? Yes, sir.
Oh. As a follow-up to what you were just talking about, both of you, the county had Justice Council program for years. And then when the COVID came around, for one reason or another, it was stopped. And I know that there's some talk about reinstituting that. Would you be in favor of reinstituting Justice Council?
Yes, I participated in that many years ago. I didn't know that it had, I haven't recently, but yes, that'd be fine. You know, we still, the offender mediation, the offender for DUI, offender mediation is still taking place. Steve Etta still does that. That's a restorative example of restorative justice. It's difficult for those folks that come in and talk about losing loved ones to drunk drivers to come in and to have to go through that experience over and over again. Steve says it's hard to keep folks going there. But no, we could, again, we could always begin that the dialogue and begin those discussions again. I did not know that those had ceased due to COVID.
Sure. Yes, so I believe what Marty was referring to is the victim impact panels that were run by the Community Mediation Center. And then there's additional Justice Council for juvenile cases as well. Is that what you're referring to?
There was.
Right.
I don't know that there's still for juvenile justice. I don't know if there's either one of them.
Right. No, there's not. The Community Mediation Center is no longer functioning, unfortunately. But we do have an incredible community of people who are trained in victim offender mediation. And victim offender mediation is a little bit different than victim impact panels. So victim impact panels are where people who have been harmed come and present, but it's not necessarily the victim of the crime speaking with the offender of the same crime. So
I know, I've got a lot.
Right, yes. So I agree that I think, yes, they are very valuable, and I think that we can, in addition, do some victor offender mediation as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, another question.
I'd like to touch more on, you talked about preventative measures that you would take. Can you give us some concrete examples about that, and specifically touch on the end of that about what you would do about the increased drug trafficking that is coming, especially from our southern border into Montana right now? And maybe you know Attorney General Knudsen's statistics about how heavily that has increased here in the last year. So please touch on those things.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the preventative measures specifically with regard to drugs that has, it's an evidence-based model that has really good outcomes, are drug courts or treatment courts. I helped Justice Gustafson start a treatment court when I worked in Billings as a public defender. And, you know, we built it from the ground up, and the outcomes for the individuals were incredible. The process is essentially, we look at the root of the problem. So rehabilitation, treatment, does that person have housing? Do they have children that need childcare? You know, what are the components of that person's life that will keep them stable? And if we can give those things and give that person a hand up, the outcomes are incredible. So I've been speaking with some judges, and there's a lot of interest in creating a new justice court, a new drug court in addition to the drug court that we currently have. And I think that if we pool together and write grants, we could either do a mental health court or another drug court specifically referring to drug crime.
Marty?
Back in 1999, along with Chuck Watson and Judge Tom Olson, we started treatment court here, our Gallatin County Treatment Court, 23 years ago. And that's long before treatment courts were the du jour thing, the thing to do. So I fully appreciate that, and I support it 100%. However, there's three parts of addressing the drug problem that we have in this country. And there's prevention on the front end, and of course, hopefully our DARE officers are doing that. I don't know if we got the DARE program anymore, but we have in-school resource officers working on that. There is treatment and rehabilitation. That's like treatment court at the back end. In the middle, there is enforcement. I am now the chair. I have been the chair for years for the Missouri River Drug Task Force. I've been on it since we first formed it 20 years ago. There's a lot to be said for enforcement as well. That has to happen. That has to happen. People that bring poison into our communities, they need to be investigated, they need to be prosecuted, and they need to be held accountable.
Okay. Another question? Yes.
I have a question for each one of them. So
well, they each get it. They each get to answer both questions. So start with your first one.
The first one I had intended for Mr. Lambert. What interview techniques do you use when interviewing a child victim of sexual assault?
The Child Advocacy Center, which I mentioned before, we have a number of trained interviewers, some like Erin Clements, who has worked for the Department of Public Health and Human Services. She was a supervisor here, and now she works for the sheriff, fortunately. Erin Clements has been a forensic interviewer for, I think, a dozen years. So I myself have not gone through that training. I have prosecuted those who have sexually abused children for 39 years, going back to when I was a deputy. And I can tell you that our Child Advocacy Center and the way that interviews are handled and conducted by law enforcement and also by others who do the interviews like Ms. Clements is first rate, is top of the line, and it's done in a setting that is as puts the child and the parent or significant other who's with that child in the most comfortable situation possible.
I think that the prosecutors need to have specialized training in this area, and that's not something that is currently happening. There's a lot of specialized forensic training programs out there that we can send prosecutors to specifically become experts in this area. And that's something that would be a top priority of mine, is to create a unit within the prosecutor's office to focus on that and to make sure that those folks have the appropriate training that they need to prosecute these crimes.
Okay, now your follow-up.
Places where I've worked have taped these interviews, having both attorneys present, defense and prosecution. And I was wondering if that is something that is done here.
No, we do not have defense counsel there when we do those interviews. And the rights of those who may be accused of crimes in those circumstances are very well and adequately protected in this community. What we need is a focus on protecting children and making sure that we've got the law enforcement side of the equation taken care of appropriately. And Bjorn Boyer and Eric Kitzmiller and I, the three of us have principally prosecuted these cases over the last several years, and I'll take our record up against any other county attorney's office in the state any day.
Okay. I have no response. Okay. And is that your two questions, or was that?
Oh, I've got one more.
Well, hang on to it. Does somebody sure. else have a question? If not, go for it.
I was going to ask Audrey, I've heard you say that the office has been neglected or mm-hmm. that it's out of date, and I wonder what you mean by that.
What is it? Did everybody hear the question?
No.
Stand up and say it, will you? Thank you.
I've heard Audrey say that the office has been neglected and that it's out of date. And I was wondering why she says that, what she means by it.
Okay. Sure, thank you for that question. One of the statistics that's very jarring for me is the statistic that Gallatin County has recently overtaken Missoula County in number of population. And Missoula County Attorney's Office has 26 attorneys they employ, including the county attorney. And we have 10 right now. There are two vacancies, so there's 12 total. There's no way that we are meeting the needs of the community. I see this as a defense attorney. I see this as a pro tem judge. There are backlogs. There are victims that are not receiving the care that they need because there isn't enough staff. I was just meeting with the police department, and they are requesting additional communication because they say once we submit a case, we don't hear anything until 2 weeks before trial, and at that point it's too late to make any changes that need to be changed in order for us to have the most successful chance at prosecution or at winning that case. There are opportunities to request additional attorneys. Mr. Lambert has not requested until this year any additional attorneys for the past 15 years. And I view that as neglect when the county has been growing so much that this county attorney's office has not grown with it to appreciate with that need. I also think there are opportunities to request grant funding for particular positions. That could be case managers, caseworkers. It could be an investigator within the county attorney's office itself to assist police in making these robust prosecutions. And none of those things have been explored.
You want to speak to that?
Yes, I would love to speak to that.
Okay.
I'll just let you rely on your collective memories. I'm looking at folks here that some of you I know have been in our community for a long time. And over 26 years I've been responsible for the office. And you know, this was never an issue until this particular election campaign. What voters want and what constituents want and what crime victim wants and what law enforcement wants is the job to be done and to be done right. And it's been done right for 26 years. And everybody right now is having trouble hiring for government. The Yellowstone County Attorney's Office is down a number of positions. The Cascade County Attorney's Office is down a number of positions. The thing to do in those circumstances is you lead by example, you prosecute the cases as I have done for 26 years, and you get things accomplished, and you get things taken care of. And this last round of hiring, here's a great example, had four folks apply. Two of whom are in law school and won't even be eligible to pass Montana Bar and be able to start until September of next year. One took another job, so next week I will interview one applicant for one of those positions. Now, I hope that's a good applicant. I hope that he works out fine, but this is what county attorneys deal with. This is what we're up against, and frankly, my opponent, I don't think she understands that. And I think when she speaks about, as she has about staffing, she's very unrealistic.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
I would add to that, maybe you can add in your response, where does the funding come from? Mm-hmm. Forgive me for my ignorance, Montana taxes are going up and all the city taxes are going up. So please respond to where the funding comes from for all of these ideas of adding staff.
Absolutely. So I first wanted to respond to what Mr. Lambert said. I believe one of the issues that he's having with hiring is because he's created a toxic environment, and attorneys know that they are going to have a difficulty working in that environment. I have had several attorneys approach me and request that in the event that I do take office, they would like to apply for a position. So I am not hearing the same or having the same difficulties that Mr. Lambert is having. In terms of funding, so the county commission funds the positions. And in speaking with the commissioners, what they would like to see is a long-term plan for hiring. So not a request for six new attorneys in 1 year, right? So let's increase, maybe it's over 4 or 5 years or 6 years, and we continually add attorneys to get us to a place where we're stabilized. And in speaking with members of Mr. Lambert's office and members of the community, it appears that the stabilization number is right around 18 attorneys. So if we can get there, we can stabilize, and then we can add additional attorneys.
Okay.
Well,
do you want to say more?
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing up property taxes. The office is very reliant on the general fund, and most of that comes from property taxes. And the growth that we see in our beautiful Gallatin Valley, that affects everyone. It affects the sheriff, it affects the treasurer, it affects the superintendent of schools, it affects the clerk and recorder, it affects the planning department, which is having difficulty staffing folks right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone has these needs. So the one thing that I do appreciate hearing from my opponent is that it takes time. And it's going to take time. It's going to take a great deal of time to get to 18 attorneys. And we're out of offices, and so we're going to have to find more office space, or we're going to have people doubled up and on top of each other. There are many issues involved with trying to essentially double, or at least 50% increase, the number of deputies in the office. That'll take quite a while, and because there are a lot of needs in our community, not just for the county attorney's office.
Okay, now let's have a new question. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about your philosophy or philosophies about what creates community safety and what's the county attorney's role in doing that.
Okay, who wants to be first?
I think if you look at statistics in the urban counties and the big cities in Montana, that we're doing really pretty well with regard to that. I think demographics have something to do with that. One thing that we do need to do a lot better job with is mental health. And I think we can have a great impact on keeping people out of the criminal justice system if we have a more consistent approach to crisis, and particularly recovery from crisis in this county. The Hope House and its collapse, and the sheriff finally ended up last year, it just stopped taking people there altogether because the service provider there was doing such an awful job. All folks in crisis now go to the emergency department of the hospital. That is not ideal either, but the sheriff and I are working together to, first of all, mobile crisis, so that we have a civilian who's trained in mental health issues with the deputy sheriff who's answering that call and can help deal better with the person in crisis and hopefully eliminate the need for additional sheriff behavior. Also to cut down on the transport. Sadly, we're back in doing all these transports out of this community again. 15 years ago, that's why we created the Hope House in the first place. There really is a great opportunity there, I think, to work together to keep folks out of the system entirely, and of course, that will improve the safety of our community as well.
So I think I agree with Mr. Lambert that, you know, those mental health services are extremely important, and my view is that it's part of an entire criminal justice infrastructure that we need to focus on and create. So, you know, as Gallatin County is growing, we are going to need facilities like a detox facility. We're going to need a facility for treatment. We are going to need a mental health facility like we're, you know, the county is currently working on. We're going to need additional sober housing. So there's more ways, I think, that we can prevent crime by supporting those in crisis, both, you know, with mental health, but also treatment and detox and those kind of situations where people need to focus on themselves and stabilizing. And I think that that infrastructure, if we build it, will be a very preventative approach to crime.
Question. Yes.
How do we fix the foster care system? And I know you're not part of, you know, Department of Public Health, and, well, you're not directly involved in that, but you are a prosecutor, and a lot of those children are going back to homes in which they're being re-abused and having to be removed again. So please touch on that.
So I have something I want to talk about with regard to the dependency neglect cases, which are abuse and neglect of children. I think that there's opportunity to use a more collaborative approach to resolving those cases than what is currently happening. So right now, when DPHHS, so Child Protective Services, gets involved and they remove a child from a home, there's a legal process by which the parents are required to have counsel and there are hearings, and it's a very tight timeline, which is great, right? That's what we want. But we also, the overarching importance is to make sure that that child is safe and cared for. And in a more collaborative approach, you can have specialists like mental health professionals who are neutrals that can be part of resolving the issues that the family is facing with the support. So right now, there's, you know, treatment plans. Sure, here's your treatment plan for a parent that they need to complete before they can be reunified with their child. But there's no support in assisting the parent to getting that rehabilitation or treatment or support that they need. So I believe if we can create more support on the underneath, it can reunify families in a healthy way.
In one sense, I do agree with my opponent with everything that she said, but that's going to take money, because Department of Public Health and Human Services, Child and Family Services Division, is one of the most underfunded. I mean, by way of contrast, those of us in Gallatin County, and I really mean this, we're doing well. We're doing a good job. They can't keep folks. Erin Clements, I just mentioned, she was a tremendous supervisor. She left. Folks in Helena are actually having an active hand in our cases. Supervisors in Helena. And they have to, because we don't have the people here. But so we need people to make that happen. But if we can get a more proactive approach, then we're not always reactive and having to deal with the removal situation because a child is in danger. There's an emergency. We can work long-term with families. I agree. That's a very laudable goal, and it's a great thing, and we need to happen, but we need to make the legislature and the governor understand that and make that happen, because DPHHS and Child and Family Services Division needs funding.
Yes, sir.
I'm concerned as I hear the conversation about all the support and restorative justice kinds of initiatives that would potentially take the county attorney's eye off the ball about the role that office should have in the community. That office can't do everything. It certainly couldn't do everything well. So I'm kind of curious about what percentage of time do you think the county attorney should put into trying to contribute to the development of those supporting institutions or agencies?
First, I believe right now we receive over 600 felony cases that we handle, not that we file, but that we handle, that we review, because we review them for all of them in the county: the sheriff, Bozeman Police, Belgrade, West Yellowstone, Montana State University, all the big agencies. We're approaching 1,200 misdemeanors. So we're looking at 1,800 criminal cases. That's the priority. That's where the focus has to be. We have to do right by the public and the crime victims and law enforcement in taking care of those cases. Now, if you can handle that...
Is that annually or...?
Yeah, that would be in a 12-month period, okay. Yes. If you can handle that, then yes. Then, as I've talked about, partnerships like Domestic Violence Response Team, Child Advocacy Center, that takes a lot of time and administrative work, and I've spent a lot of time with a lot of great people to make those things happen. Then, yes, it's important that we do that as well. First and foremost, the eye's got to be on the ball. You've got to do right by all those cases that the office has to handle.
No, so my approach would be a little bit different. I think that my view of what the county attorney's office should be is broader than Mr. Lambert's. I think that prevention should be a core value of the county attorney's office, because in the future it will reduce crime and reduce caseload. And so I believe that once we stabilize the caseload, I think that is imperative. We have to stabilize before we increase any sort of, different preventative measures. But I think that we can partner with entities that are already there and already performing to do some of these things. So, yes, it may take a little time at the creation, but I believe that there are entities in the community that can really take and are willing to take a larger load to help if it reduces crime in general.
Thank you both. Mm-hmm. Question? Yes, ma'am, in the back.
Hi. I guess I want to just figure out what maybe you're thinking as far as detox and the medical care issues that you were bringing up. I'm a little concerned about the county getting involved and what should be the hospital's job, but maybe I misunderstood something. So if you want to speak to that, that would help.
Yeah, I can speak to that. When I practiced in Billings, Billings Clinic had a detox facility that the sheriffs and all law enforcement would take folks directly to that facility. And I think that there are opportunities to partner with the health system that we have here in the Valley. I don't know exactly what that will look like, but I think that if we don't push and request assistance from community businesses and community members, I think that there's a missed opportunity. So I think that it's probably a little bit of both, and I'm willing to take the time to try to invest in that infrastructure, whether it's time or maybe a little bit of county money and a partnership. You know, I don't know exactly what that would look like, but I think that there are a lot of opportunities for growth in that infrastructure area.
I've been immersed in that very issue for the last 18 months to 2 years. Detox, and that is folks who show up with blood alcohol concentration of 0.3, with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.1 plus methamphetamine. They got methamphetamine on board, and they're tweaking, looking for more methamphetamine. The two emergency room physicians that I have spoken with recently said that is the one area where you absolutely have to start with the medical screening being in the emergency department. And so, again, respectfully, I don't think it can happen that way. I don't think that you can partner with folks for things that the medical professionals that I've been dealing with and that I've been hearing from say that's not the best standard of care. The national standard of care is certainly different. We as an urban county, and with all the resources, the monetary resources that we have in this community, we can do a lot better here right in this community. And eventually, I think, eliminate, we probably can't completely eliminate it, but stop these transports back and forth to Warm Springs that are so destabilizing. But no, I hope that answers your question, because as far as detox is concerned, no, you can't partner with other people. That's on the emergency department at the hospital.
Any more questions? Yes, ma'am.
Well, this office has a huge amount of responsibility. So how would you describe the leadership portion of your job?
You got to lead by example. That is always the best way to lead. Folks know that talk is cheap. A lot of folks can talk a good game when it comes to the law. A lot of folks inside the law and who practice law can talk a good game when it comes to the law. The best way to lead is to be that person that is in the well of the court, that is arguing that case on behalf of the people of the state of Montana. When it comes to the criminal side of things, Patty, But I think that transcends, that translates also into the civil side of things as well, because a lot of county attorneys don't touch water issues, and that amazes me. But if someone's stealing water from somebody that's got water rights in Gallatin County, if I can get DNRC to investigate it, or if George Alberga, our chief water commissioner, comes to me, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to lead by example.
Yeah, so my view is a little different. I see the county attorney as a leader. This is a political position. I view this as one of leadership. And I don't think that you have to be the most experienced trial attorney to be in this position. You have to hire and retain and manage the most experienced trial attorneys. I think that if you are in court all the time, you know, that you are neglecting the active management of your staff. I think you are not managing, supporting, or training your attorneys. I don't think that you are securing grant opportunities for additional programs. I don't think you're spending time working with law enforcement agencies to, you know, make sure that there are priorities on public safety. I don't think you're working with the court to build capacity for diversionary programs and things that are more focused on prevention, and working with the, you know, county on these criminal justice infrastructure measures. And I think that this is part of the issue and part of what sets myself apart from my opponent. I see this as a leadership position and a management position. And yes, sometimes the county attorney will need to be in court, absolutely. However, if that was the primary component of the job, you're neglecting the remaining parts of being a county attorney.
Are we done? No more questions? Okay. Oh, wait.
Well, we did a ballot initiative for him last week, and this LR 131 is on the ballot. And I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about it, if it passes or if it fails for the county.
The born alive criminalization.
Does anybody know what this is about? Okay. Who wants to speak?
Address it?
I can't support LR 131 at all. That's one of those circumstances. I remember with the superintendents and Matt Henry, they were asked about, do you lobby? Do you talk to legislators? Uh-huh. I don't think any county attorney was asked about LR 131. Because you'd have enormous proof problems to begin with. Why would you enact something like that if you didn't actually intend for someone to be prosecuted and held accountable? I'm sure the sheriffs and the chiefs. And by the way, when it comes to abortion, and Dobbs and everything, and I understand everyone's concern about that. Not just the county attorney and the county attorney candidate should be asked about that. The chief of police should be asked, and the sheriff should be asked, are you going to investigate? Mm-hmm. If there's a complaint, are you going to investigate? Because unless there's an investigation and a case brought to us, we're not policymakers. The county attorney is not a policymaker. I get a case, I look at it, I look at the facts, I look at the law, and I take my experience and I make a decision. They should be asked about that as well. But LR 131, I'm not going to vote for it.
Yeah, I don't support LR 131 as well, for many of the reasons that Mr. Lambert stated. With respect to abortion, which Mr. Lambert brought up, my viewpoint is that the county attorney is responsible for following the law. And there's something called prosecutorial discretion, which prosecutors use all the time. An example is in Missoula, prior to the legalization of marijuana, the county attorney declined to prosecute low-level marijuana offenses because the community members did not want their tax dollars going to prosecuting that low-level marijuana possession. And so there are, I think, challenges in prosecuting reproductive health care. And one of the pieces for me. I mean, I do not support the criminalization of private healthcare decisions. Those should be made between an individual and their physician. And I believe that if I'm elected, there is an obligation to the voters. If the voters have elected me, there's an obligation that they do not want their funding and taxpayer dollars going to investigate independent, individual healthcare decisions made by their neighbor.
Now are we done? Okay. One, two, three, gone. Wait.
Everybody sit down. We're not done. You each get 2 minutes to sum up to say why everybody ought to vote for you. Who wants to go first? Yeah. And then we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go home.
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Marty.
Well, I guess I've been going first pretty much most of the night. Thank you so much for being here. It really is important. We've touched on a lot of aspects of the job, and it is so important in terms of our lives and our quality of life in the community. Public safety, experience and leadership. Public safety, that is has always been my passion. It's been my passion for 39 years because I was fortunate to serve as a deputy county attorney when Judge Salvani was Mike Salvani, county attorney. I'm passionate about the job. I'm passionate about the protection of you and your loved ones and your property. Leadership, I've demonstrated that over 26 years, and I do think it's important that in order to train, for instance, it was mentioned, well, you know, you have to have time to train your deputies. Well, when we're talking about prosecuting criminal cases, the training needs to come from someone who's been there, has been in the well of the court, as I have for 39 years. Leadership, I've been able to bring folks together in the community to create the domestic violence response team and working with Haven, working with the grassroots advocates, the Help Center and the Voice Center, the Child Advocacy Center, which is one of only seven in the state that we have here where we're able to conduct those interviews in a safe environment. The multidisciplinary team, which involves the school and protection of children. I've been very fortunate because we have so many wonderful community partners to work with. But I would very much appreciate, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for asking your good questions. But I would very much appreciate your support on November 8th for another 4 years for the job of county attorney. Thank you very much.
Okay. Audrey?
Thank you. You know, first, I'm stepping up on behalf of the public to advocate for better service to our community. Mr. Lambert has mentioned a lot of these community partnerships, and I have met with the leaders of these community organizations, and I'm hearing something that's different from what Mr. Lambert is presenting to you tonight. I'm an experienced civil attorney, criminal attorney, and judge. I've seen criminal justice from all different sides. I think there are deficiencies at the county attorney's office that a good leader could remedy. I believe that the public deserves better service than what we're currently receiving. And I'm a builder. I would like to restore relationships and rehabilitate relationships with law enforcement, the public, the county commission, the county attorney's office, and other community partnerships so that we can really be a leader in our state for criminal justice. I would like to stabilize this office so that we can meet our public safety needs in the community while looking toward future growth and determining a plan for criminal justice in infrastructure. I think we need a county attorney that can help the county get to yes. And I know that this is a big job. It's a really important one. I've never shied away from challenges, and I'm willing to give this one my all. Thank you so much for coming to listen tonight, and I really would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for running for office. I would never run for office. It has gotten so deadly. Who would want to do that? But bless you both for doing it. Thank you.
That concludes the portion of the candidate forum held on Thursday, October 20th, 2022, at the Bozeman Public Safety Center. This part of the forum featured candidates for Gallatin County Attorney. KGVM does not endorse any candidate or take a particular position on any ballot issue. We strive to disseminate available information to help voters make informed decisions.